AI-powered statistical process control. So AI is enhancing the traditional statistical process control methodologies, making them more intelligent and proactive. So in the traditional approach, the operator used to measure the dimensions and plot the results on a process control chart. With the AI, this happens through the machine and happens continuously. And it keeps on gathering the data over a large period of time. And this data keeps on growing. So intelligent control charts with automated anomaly detection. So it is able to predict, over a period of time, what is the frequency of different types of failures, etc., that occur on a particular machine with different frequencies. So AI automates the statistical process control, identifying trends and process deviations, reduces manual interventions, ensuring faster error resolution, self-explanatory. Predictive statistical process control for quality assurance. So AI predicts future process deviations, enabling preemptive corrective actions. So for example, it knows exactly, or it can predict exactly when the tool needs to be changed, when the tool needs to be ground, when the machine needs to be maintained, when it needs to be maybe bearings, etc., some critical components need to be changed. So these can be predicted with the help of these AI-based statistical process control. All this leads to reduced waste, enhanced consistency, and optimizes production flow. So what it basically results in is a continuous operation without any interruption, no downtime, no breakdowns, and optimized production flow. Coming to natural language processing or NLP for quality-related insights. So mostly AI-focused or structured data, that is images, sensor readings, numerical process data, NLP enables AI to extract valuable insights from unstructured textual data related to quality. We will see how this happens. Extracting meaning from customer feedback and warranty claims. So AI analyzes textual data to identify quality concerns, defects, recurring defects, and sentiment trends. So what do we mean by this? Textual data is, customer claims or customer complaints. It basically analyzes them to identify what are the concerns of the customer, what are the symptoms that they are seeing. Like, for example, somebody says that my refrigerator is not cooling anymore, or my washing machine, the water continuously keeps on draining. So these are the kinds of textual data which needs to be analyzed. Also, the system can, accumulate, assimilate the defects and identify the patterns in terms of which are the recurring defects and the sentiment trend. So sentiment is the customer sentiments which are recurring. Identifying patterns in repair logs and production records. So one is the customer feedback we are talking about. The other is the internal system. That means whenever there is a complaint, a technician is going and attending to the complaint, and then he is filling a repair log or a production record. Now, production record will be wherever there is a defective product made, it is detected at a later stage, and then there is a rectification. So these records, these logs, which may be in textual form or in a physical document form, these can also be analyzed by AI. So AI unveils hidden correlations linking customer complaints to process inefficiency. It can help you to actually recognize patterns, trends in customer complaints, and even in repair logs. That means what action has been taken by the organization for correcting this defect, and thus it telling you what are the inefficiencies in the process. So inefficiencies could be either error in the manufacturing process or it could be a defective component which is being outsourced and incorporated into the product, which needs to be looked into, or certain design aspect, you know, which needs to be corrected. That means, let us say that there is a component which is failing and which needs to be redesigned and reinforced. So optimizes design and process improvement, preventing long-term defect. So this is what I was talking about, optimized design and process improvement. So if you find that the product design needs to be changed, needs to be strengthened, then that needs to be done. Or process improvement. So if it is, let's say, a machining process or something which is actually leading to the defect, then that needs to be corrected. Machine learning is central to optimizing production processes. And this we have seen, because larger the data, the higher is the level of machine learning, because it can recognize certain patterns, you know, from the large pool of data. And based on that, it can recognize the patterns. It can use algorithms to actually suggest solutions. AI models analyze vast amount of production data, predicting failures, optimizing parameters, and reducing waste. So we have already seen this, that the amount of data and the different situations which are faced, so it can recognize the pattern that last time this happened, there was a failure, and what was the nature of the failure. So it can predict based on the current real-time information. It can predict things based on the past experience. Transforms manufacturing from reactive troubleshooting to proactive and preventive strategies. So instead of a reactive troubleshooting, where you know you are reacting to a complaint, etc., it can throw up the defects or the you can say the inconsistency in the system before they become a major issue. So thus, it becomes a preventive strategy. AI transforms process optimization into a data-driven, intelligent discipline. So as we have seen, if you have a system which prevents defects from happening, or it highlights the deviation, therefore they can turn into a defect, it can throw up an alarm for human intervention, etc. So it is constantly actually preventing the defect. At the same time, it is helping you to improve your systems, make them more optimal, make them more defect free. So AI transforms process optimization into a data driven intelligent discipline, enables dynamic adaptation, predictive intervention, and enhanced efficiency. We have already seen this, how it is operating dynamically. It can predict failures. It will predict interventions. It will tell you to intervene wherever it cannot make the corrections on its own. And thus, you know, it will enhance the efficiency. It will even stop the operation if it feels that, you know, it cannot correct the situation, and if it is not corrected, defective products will be produced. Supervised learning for defect classification. So supervised learning is a machine learning approach where the system learns from labeled data. Training AI models to identify defects. Machine learning models learn patterns from labeled defect data set. So what do you mean by supervised learning, and what do you mean by labeled defects? So when you have a large amount of data and there is a identification or labeling of the defects by, let's say, a model, by the plant where it is manufactured, or a failure of a certain component, etc., which is coming from a particular supplier. So these are called as labeled. That means the defects can be traced to, you know, the product model, or the source of the material, etc. So these are called as supervised learning or labeled data labeled defect data set. So here you can classify and you can actually form patterns. So suppose you find that material coming from one particular vendor is responsible for a large number of failure, then it tells you that there is something wrong with this particular vendor. Likewise, if the failure is restricted to one particular model, so let us say that you are making a white goods and there are 10 models, and out of those 10 models, two models are facing repeated complaints, recurring complaints, then the label data can actually identify, saying that this kind of a defect is restricted to only these two models or these two components within the model. So this is what we call as the supervised learning. So what are the key machine learning algorithms, you know, for supervised learning? So you have support vector machines, you have decision tree and random forest, convolutional neural network, and this is used mainly for image-based defect detection. So these are some of the algorithms which are adopted for the supervised data or the labeled data. So machine learning optimization for production efficiency and quality control. Improving detection with feature engineering. So raw data often contains noise or irrelevant information. So many a times the data that you collect, they can have a lot of irrelevant information which can actually misguide or provide a bias. So feature engineering is the process of extracting the most relevant information, most useful or the relevant information from raw data. And this improves the accuracy of the defect detection. That means, it will eliminate any bias, it will eliminate any noise which will distract you from the real root cause, and it will help you to identify the real defect. Industry applications. So in electronics, identifying poor soldering in circuit boards. So, you know, if the soldering is not done correctly, what we call as a dry solder, then you will find that the contact is not correct and there can be malfunction of the circuitry just because the soldering or the contact is not complete. Automotive, detecting paint flaws and assembly defects. So again, assembly defects, if there is a defect in the assembly line, something is not assembled correctly, then you can have, these defects. One is example given is the paint flaws. The secondly is the assembly line defects. In textile, spotting weaving errors and material inconsistencies. So many times it happens, you know, that when you are processing the fabric, you are weaving the fabric and then you are processing it. Normally, if it's a cotton, then there is something called as a desizing. You have the bleaching process. Now, if there is an inconsistency in this process, you will find that the color of the fabric will be different. For example, if the bleaching is not correct, the whiteness of the fabric will vary. So it may be very bright in some place and it will be slightly duller in some other places. So these are the material inconsistencies. Weaving error can be, you know, knots, or there are breakage of the warp or the weft, the threads which are, you know, crisscrossing. So these kind of defects can occur. Pharmaceuticals, detecting contamination using spectroscopic data. Now here, because it's chemicals, pharmachemicals are fine chemicals, and contamination only can be detected using very high precision equipment like HPLC, etc., or GCMS or GC equipment, etc. So these are used to detect any contamination in the process. So we looked at the supervised data or the labeled data. Coming to the unsupervised learning for anomaly detection. So unsupervised learning is useful when data, labeled data, is unavailable. So here you have a lot of data but you don't know which model it pertains to, or which unit they were manufactured in, etc. So this kind of a data, you know, where you just simply have some defect data, right? So these are called as the unlabeled data. The system looks for patterns in the data and detects anything that doesn't match the normal pattern. These are called anomalies. AI identifies unexpected behavioral anomalies without labeled data. And I'll give you an example of this. These are some of the key techniques which are used to find or detect anomalies in unlabeled data. So some of them are K-means clustering, DBSCAN, principal component analysis, and autoencoders. The other one is clustering for inefficiency analysis. So AI groups similar production data to pinpoint inefficiencies. So as we said, you know, that AI is good at recognizing patterns. So here, AI actually will group data with similar production data to pinpoint inefficiencies. So it will look for certain patterns, certain deficiencies, and it will segregate these to say that these are the inefficiencies in the system. Example, AI reveals machines with higher energy usage and lower output, enabling targeted corrective action. So if it finds that there are machines where the energy usage has suddenly gone up, so you are constantly monitoring the energy usage, you know what is supposed to be the normal usage, but here you find that the energy usage has gone up and the output has dropped. There is a lower output. Now, what could be the reasons? Like, for example, if let's say a drilling machine is there. If the drilling bit becomes blunt, the energy consumption will go up. At the same time, the performance of the drill will fall. In the sense, it is supposed to drill with a certain efficiency, with a certain speed. It will not do that. So this could be one of the reasons. The other reason could be that there is a bearing which is nearing failure. So these are the possible outcomes. But what it is looking at, the system is looking at the energy usage and the output in this particular case. So there could be various other parameters which are being used to actually target the corrective actions. One of the behavioral pattern which is I would say employed is in banks for frauds, etc. So they have the algorithm to detect certain anomalies, certain behavioral patterns, which normally the fraudsters use. So if they see this pattern amongst the data, like for example, if you find that there is an account where money is coming in and then it is leaving the account within a couple of minutes. Now you must have seen that, you know, when there are cyber frauds, the money is siphoned from a person's account through a fraudulent means. And this is a mule account. And this amount is then immediately transferred to or removed, you know, by either a withdrawal or by some other means and transferred to maybe some other account, etc. So these kind of behavior or this kind of patterns are recognized by the unsupervised or the unlabeled algorithms. So this is one more example which I want to give you, which is extensively used. Regression analysis for predictive process optimization. So regression is a type of supervised learning used to predict a continuous outcome such as product quality or energy use based on input variables like temperature, pressure, or speed. So regression analysis is normally, you know, you collect a large amount of data. For example, you can, use a data of operator, the years of experience, and the number of defects. So you may find the higher the number of years of experience, the number of defects keeps coming down. And if you were to chart or plot these points, you will see there is a clear pattern. And this is regression analysis, which you can draw in the form of a straight line or a graph, which will tell you that with experience, how the defects emerging due to human error is coming down. This is just one example of regression analysis. So regression is also used to actually arrive at anomalies and to predict a process, or to basically achieve optimization of a process. So, you know, you know that for a process to operate optimally, it has to follow a certain parameter. That means if you correlate two parameters or three parameters, then how they should perform. So this is basically regression. Linking process parameters to quality. Regression models correlate variables like temperature, speed, and pressure to production outcomes. So if you find that the temperature is going high, maybe it indicates something. Speed, certain speeds are optimum for, achieving the right quality, etc. Same case with the pressure. Unfortunately, I'm not able to give an example here, but basically what we talked about the regression, there are correlations which will tell you that the ideal combination will give you optimal output. Example given here is in plastic molding, AI determines the ideal temperature range for minimal defect. Now, in plastic molding, you know plastic is a thermoplastic material. So when you heat it, it becomes soft and it starts flowing. It becomes viscous. And when it is cold, it becomes hard, it becomes solid. Now, when you have a plastic injection molding machine, so if the temperature is too high, you can actually burn the plastic. It will flow well, but also when it comes out of the mold, if it is not cooled adequately, it can deform. That means whatever is the shape which has been molded, that shape can get deformed before it cools down. If it is too cold, if the temperature is not high enough, the flow may not be proper. So the fusing, when it flows into the mold, the fusing of the material, you know, wherever the material meets, may not be complete. So there may be a defect in the material, or there may be certain portions where the plastic may be totally missing. That means if you're making a cup or something, plastic cup, you may find that there is one portion where there is no plastic, there is a hole or there is a void. So this is one example of temperature. So there is an ideal temperature at which you will get the perfect product with minimal defects. And if the temperature is higher or lower, you can expect different kind of defects to occur. Optimizing resource utilization. AI analyzes energy consumption trends, identifying key inefficiency resources. Example, optimizing motor speed can reduce material waste. So I think this is self-explanatory, what we have already talked about, the regression, etc. So we also saw that higher energy consumption can mean so many things. Like we said, that the tool may be blunt, so that is using more energy and delivering less output, or it could be that a bearing, etc., is nearing failure. Reinforcement learning for dynamic optimization. So reinforcement learning involves an intelligent agent that learns by interacting with the environment. The agent tries different actions and receives feedback in the form of rewards, that is positive result, or penalties, that is a negative result. That means undesirable results. AI learns through trial and error, refining settings dynamically. So here, the system learns, which of its decision resulted in a positive outcome and which did not result in a positive outcome. And this learning, the machine learning, is captured so that it basically tries to enhance the positive results over the negative results. And as the data keeps on gathering, a point is reached where it can give you positive results fairly repeatability. So this also depends on building of the data, which is crucial and the key in machine learning. So applications, adaptive process control, AI adjusts machine settings on the fly. We have had this kind of systems, I have worked in a aluminum foil rolling mill, where the gauge control is through a radioactive source. And while the foil is being made, it is, in real time measuring the thickness of the aluminum foil. And the parameters of the mill are constantly being monitored and changed to ensure that the thickness of the foil, the gauge of the foil, is maintained. So this is adaptive control, and the system learns, the sensitivity of the control. That means maybe it tries to sometimes overreact. It learns how much it should react. Another example that I'll give you of this is your inverter ACs. The principle in inverter AC is, in a traditional AC, we used to have a compressor which used to start and stop. So when the temperature goes beyond the target level, the compressor will start. When the temperature falls below a certain level, the compressor will cut off. But in an inverter AC, the compressor speed is varying. The compressor does not stop. It's either the speed is increasing when the temperature is high, or it reduces when the temperature is too low. Now, there is a situation where the system can overreact. So it finds that, the temperature is high, so it is cooling very fast, but suddenly it finds that now the temperature has fallen much lower. So the speed of the compressor drops. But the moment it drops, the temperature starts to rise again. And again, the compressor speed goes up. And you have what we used to learn in the damping control. So there is a hunting of the compressor. It is either going too high or it's going too low. But today the systems are such that it'll learn to not overcompensate. So very soon it'll learn the size of the room and the cooling efficiency, and it'll adjust the speed in such a way that it'll attain the right temperature, and the compressor will be running at a constant speed unless there is a change. So suddenly if there is a door opening, some few people come into the room and there is a slight increase in the thermal load, the compressor speed will slightly go up just to maintain the correct set temperature in the room. So this is one example of adaptive process control. Robotics optimization. So AI teaches robo efficient movement or enhanced precision. So we have seen the automotive example where it basically monitors the quality of the welding, and it'll ensure, and it does this by, monitoring the temperature, the current which is flowing, and the consumption of the welding material. It will decide whether the weld quality is okay or not. Also, it may depend on a human intervention to actually sense whether the weld it has created was correct or not. And thus, it will keep on improving upon the quality so that it becomes extremely consistent and delivers precise welded output consistently. Supply chain optimization. So AI optimizes inventory and logistics using demand pattern learning. We have seen this, that demand planning is one of the key areas where AI is being used. And this basically drives the efficiency of the entire supply chain, right from raw material planning down to fulfilling the customer requirement. So it's extremely important, that you have this inventory and the logistics being optimized through the demand planning process or the demand forecasting process. And it basically learns from the historical data. It also looks at the seasonality, and it looks at the global development, the outside development, where it basically uses the unstructured data or the unlabeled data. Advanced robotics and AI in manufacturing optimization. So manufacturing is undergoing a transformative transformation driven by advanced robotics and artificial intelligence. So we have seen how it is doing this in automotive industry and many other places, like even assembling the printed circuit board for the mobile phones and many other precision electronic items, etc. Traditional factories relied on fixed repetitive automation, but today's AI integrated systems enable smart adaptive production. Fairly simple. I mean, this is more like a statement. The impact includes higher efficiency, greater flexibility, improved accuracy in manufacturing and operations. Again, very simple to understand. We have seen how it is achieving all this. Automation that can learn, optimize, and make intelligent decisions. We have seen the air conditioning example. Reduced dependency on rigid programming, allowing for dynamic real-time adjustments. Again, the example of the air conditioner. So it is not a rigid programming. It's not an on-off kind of a thing. It basically learns dynamically and makes real-time adjustments to achieve optimal results. Industrial robo have evolved beyond simple programmed actions. AI enables robo to perceive their surroundings, process information, and make decisions. So in the past, the robo were standalone machines and they used to do the job, repeatedly. Sometimes they were not intelligent. But today, the robo, even where they are used, for the welding jobs or the painting jobs in the automotive shops, so they are much more intelligent. And this is one more addition where they perceive their surroundings. So if the robo are working alongside human beings, then they are very cautious to ensure the safety of the people around or the equipment around. So it may not be human beings, but it can be some of the robo or some equipment. So if there is some obstruction, they will perceive it and they will stop. Adapt to changes in manufacturing conditions without human intervention. So it can even recognize changes in the manufacturing condition. For example, if there is a different model which is on the line with the visual identification or the computer vision, it can actually decide what is required to be done. And thus it will change the manufacturing conditions without human intervention. Integrate with other systems for seamless production workflow. And it's common sense that these are integrated into the total system. They are not like silos, or they're not working as independent standalone systems. So they are integrated with the entire manufacturing system. Computer vision, enabling robot to see and understand. So computer vision equips robo with advanced object recognition capabilities. This is what we discussed. AI-driven cameras help robo identify objects, parts, tools, products precisely. So it can actually, handle different tools, parts, etc. precisely. It can recognize. Detect flaws, we have already talked about this, of how it can detect flaws on the production line. Enhance automated sorting. We've seen this in case of fruits, vegetables, eggs, right? And packaging processes, the labeling process, etc. So computer vision adds immensely to the capabilities of the robo. Benefits: improved accuracy in handling material, reduced error and defective outputs, safer, more convenient, efficient robotic operations in dynamic environment, more flexible and useful in different tasks without needing a fixed setup. Coming to more safer and more efficient robotic operations in dynamic environment, so two examples come to my mind. Certain e-commerce giants, they are using this robo, you know, for movement of material. And I have seen the visuals on videos, etc., of how there are autonomous vehicles which are moving the material, the pallets within the warehouse. And they can detect the other autonomous vehicles. So there is no collision. And at the same time, they will do this. There are numerous autonomous vehicles operating simultaneously and doing the job in the fastest possible way, which is not humanly possible. The other part is, you know, we talked about the warehouse, you know, where the storing of the material and the retrieval of the material, the picking as we call it, and the consolidation. So these also can be done by robotic operations in a very safe and very quick, efficient way, error-free way.